You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. There you'll find this study will be today's, will be archived there, and you can listen to it on demand later. If you didn't hear yesterday's program, you can listen to that by going back a day. The last 5 days' programs are listed there continually. Eventually, all of these studies will be up there to listen to at your leisure, on demand, anytime you want. You can also make a donation there to receive any gift of any of the things that are being offered there. You can actually, if you want to write to me, you'll find the address there, and I'll give it to you now. It's you can write to Nicholas Arthur at 139-139. East Tulare, that's T-U-L-A-R-E, Avenue, that's 139 East Tulare Avenue, and that's in Tulare, California, T-U-L-A-R-E is the spelling, the same as the road, or the avenue, and that's in Tulare, California, 93274. So one more time, Nicholas Arthur, 139 East Tulare Avenue in Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, A-R-E, California, 93274. And you can receive any of these studies you can for free if you want to send me a letter to receive them or any gift that you want to give, that'll be fine. I'm not in this for the money, obviously. And it's somewhat saddening to watch the numbers on the Internet drop off by 90%. When this program comes on the air. But that shows you what people care about. They would rather hear someone like Rush Jones. It's a fictional character, but it's a type of character. Shake his rattle. That's his mouth every day. So they would rather listen to Rush Jones shake the same rattle every day than learn about the things of our Heavenly Father, than dive into his word and learn what pleases him. And I'm certain that many people who have the opportunity to listen to the radio or on the internet while they're working don't have time to actually get into the word for themselves. And I can understand that. If you're working hard, it is hard to read a book without falling asleep. If you've been laboring hard all day, you go home and you have your main meal after laboring hard all day, the only thing a book really does, perhaps, is put you to sleep. So I can understand the difficulty there. Our Heavenly Father does not expect us all to be biblical scholars, but He does want all of us to voluntarily be concerned about the things pertaining to Him. He does want us to have a heart that desires to please Him. That's what He wants. And so for all of you that are listening to the study and take the time, I guess I could applaud you, because you are a rare group of people. And as the scripture says, you are a peculiar people, because you know what is important, and His word is important. You look at the things that other people are interested in, what they would rather listen to, and you find out what is important to them. And it says a lot about the people, and the people that need to hear this perhaps aren't listening, and perhaps they never will listen. Okay, let's see, where did we leave off? Oh yes, we were the first part of Leviticus. We got the commands, how they were to carry out the ritual sacrifice, the ceremony in the tabernacle, and how to set it up. And now we are to chapter 8, and where they're actually going through it. So it seems like we're all repeating, it's repeating everything, and it is repeating everything, but now it's actually happening, and that's why it's saying it all over again. So let's stick to it here as much as we can. And I know that it is somewhat laborious. Some portions of the scripture seem laborious, but I believe that our Heavenly Father is blessed when we persevere and have patience with His Word, and I believe that He gives us a special revelation as we go through it. I mean, I don't know about you, those of you who are sticking with me through it. I don't believe you would be sticking with me through it if you weren't getting some kind of blessing out of it. So I know it blesses our Heavenly Father to see us engaged and interested in His Word. And I know that He blesses us because I'm being blessed as I go through this. Though it does seem laborious at times, there is revelation and little bits here and little bits there that I'm getting through His Holy Spirit, and I hope you're getting them too. That and they will all add up into more righteousness in our lives. And that's the whole point, because we are seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and His Word in us will produce that righteousness. That is the point. And that's what we want, because we truly love Him and want to do those things that please Him. And I pray that that's your heart, as it is my heart, and that that desire will become stronger and stronger, and His Word and His law will be written more indelibly in our minds and our hearts every day of our lives. Leviticus chapter 8, verse 30, Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood which was upon the altar and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments and upon his sons and his sons and his sons' garments with him. And Moses said unto Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and there eat it with the bread that is in the basket of consecrations, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. So now they're actually doing it. And that which remaineth of the flesh and of the bread shall ye burn with fire, and ye shall not go out of the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, in 7 days, until the days of your consecration be at an end. So when the priests went in to serve, they had to go through this consecration, this ritual of consecration. They had to boil the meat at the door and eat it with the unleavened bread, and they weren't allowed to go out for 7 days. Until the days of your consecration be at an end, for 7 days shall he consecrate you. As he hath done this day, so Yahuwah hath commanded to do, to make an atonement for you. Therefore shall you abide at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, day and night, 7 days, and keep the charge of Yahuwah, that you die not. For so I am commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all of the things which Yahuwah commanded by the hand of Moses. And I'm not sure that it's written in the scripture anywhere, but I heard that when they actually went into the Holy of Holies, the priests, behind the veil, the veil that was rent in the middle of the week, but when they went in to serve, that they tied a cord around their foot, so that if they got struck dead while they were in the Holy of Holies, that part of the tabernacle where the Holy of Holies was, that they could be dragged out if they died in there, because no one else wanted to go in there and get struck dead either. So I mean, this was serious business, that they had to do everything. And of course, the priest did things on a rotation basis, because they had to be in there 7 days. So they were gone 7 days, and they were consecrated, and then they came out, and then the next, the sons of Aaron, who were next in line to serve in the temple, well, they went and served in the temple. And that ends chapter 8, and let's take a look at chapter 9 and see where we're going here. Leviticus chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. So I'm assuming that they went in on the first day of the first month of the second year, and they were in there for 7 days. So now we're on the eighth day. So it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take the young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish and offer them before Yahuwah. For unto the children of Israel shall you speak, saying, take you a kid of the goats for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, also a bullock and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today Yahuwah will appear unto you. So we have the eighth day here, and it is the Sabbath. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before Yahuwah. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yahuwah commanded that you should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering, the burnt offering, make atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. And Aaron therefore went into the altar, and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and dipped his finger into the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys, the caul above the liver, and the sin of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as Yahuwah commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp. And he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs, and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. And he brought the people's offering, and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it, and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering, and offered it according to the manner. And he brought the meat offering, and took a handful thereof, and burnt it upon the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. And when they burnt a handful, that means that they kept the rest for their own use. It was theirs. Okay, and they burnt beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. And he slew also the bullock of the ram for the sacrifice of the peace offering, which for the people of Aaron's son presented unto him, the blood which he sprinkled upon the altar round about, and the fat of the bullock and of the ram, the rump, and that which covereth the inwards and the kidneys and the caul above the liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and he burnt the fat upon the altar, and the breast and the right shoulder Aaron waved for a wave offering before Yahuwah, as Moses commanded. And I'm going to tell you what, this didn't happen as fast as I'm reading it. This is, sounds like a very involved and laborious ceremony, and praise our Heavenly Father that we don't have to do anything like this. And perhaps when I'm done with Leviticus, we may jump into Hebrews. I'm going to hold that up in prayer. And then perhaps after Hebrews we will return back, because it seems like this is something that in the reading of this and going through all of this ritual, that we need a better understanding from the New Testament view. And we're in chapter 9 of Leviticus, and about verse 22. So Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before Yahuwah and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. Chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Wow. So Nadab and Abihu, what were they doing? Well, they were probably engaging in some type of pagan ritual which they had learned before in Egypt. Something. So they offered a strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, this is a fairly dire warning, and it seems a very unfair punishment for their sin. All they did was offer incense. You know, we might think that way, but they offered a strange fire. I don't know. I'm so glad that our Heavenly Father isn't around striking people dead, is he? I mean, he could. No doubt about it. And I'll bet you he still does on occasion strike a few people dead here and there. But, you know, we read about this in the Old Testament, and of course these things are recorded here for our benefit. So it's unlikely that there was a lot more people being struck dead then than there are now. But here, this is recorded. This was a serious business, and as I told you that I heard, and I have a reason to believe it, especially after reading this, that how they tied a cord around the foot of those that went into the Holy of Holies in case they were struck dead, that they could drag them out by the foot. And so we have an example how solemn this was. I mean, that they decided to add to his word. We could look at it that way. They added to his word by offering a strange fire. They were to be very careful to do what he said and to do only what he said, to not bring in their own ideas, because that's what they did. They brought in their own ideas. And you know, we see that later when Peter, there's a moment they call the Transfiguration, where Yahshua and had Moses, I guess it was Moses, and I forget who else appeared to him. Maybe it was Elijah, but a couple of the prophets of old appeared. And somehow Peter recognized them. I don't know how that happened, but I guess when miraculous things happen, you can know things in a miraculous way. And we've all had that type of experience, perhaps. But Peter offered, "Shall I make a tabernacle here and do a sacrifice?" But you know what? Yahshua told him, "Chill, Peter. Don't do nothing. Wait for instructions. Okay? And then you're to follow only the instructions." So I don't know exactly what was going on or what was going on in their minds, but there went out a fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that Yahuwah spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. I guess Aaron was about to say something. And the Heavenly Father spoke through him. He says, I will be sanctified. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which Yahuwah hath kindled. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of Yahuwah is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. You better believe they did according to the word of Moses. They weren't going to do anything else at this point, because certainly they wanted to live. And it makes me think, you know, there are a lot of people offering strange fire today. aren't they? You know, our Messiah, Yeshua, he gave us a gospel, and it was called the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he called it. When he came, he started preaching, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." And then after he was resurrected, he showed himself to thousands of that day, of people that day after he was resurrected from the dead. And I believe he was around 40 days, or maybe perhaps, I think it was, and then 50 days was the Pentecost. But he was around for a while. I don't know the exact number of days. And then he ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And before he ascended, he said something else. And it was almost the same thing. He says, "This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the earth. Then will the end come." Something similar to that. That's close enough. "This gospel of the kingdom must be preached." There's a lot of people out there preaching strange gospels. They're not the gospel of the kingdom. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you're preaching a gospel that says, say the magic words and you get to go to heaven when you die, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. He says they preach that gospel because they don't enter the kingdom themselves, and they don't suffer you to enter because they aren't there. They hate his kingdom, and they signify that. They tell on themselves by saying they hate the law of God. And how do they say they hate the law of God? They wouldn't use those words. That would be too hard for them to say that they actually hate his law. But if they say it was nailed to the cross and we don't have to live by it, but that's not for us, that the law is dead, then that means they hate his law. Strange fire. A lot of other gospels out there. But let's stick to the gospel of the kingdom. That's why I preach what I preach. Because I don't want to offer strange fire. Not that I fear that I'll be struck dead, because I see a lot of people out there preaching, you know, they're serving God their way and not his way. And I would call that strange fire. So there's a little heads up for you, and hopefully you can discern what is the gospel of the kingdom and what is the gospel that our Heavenly Father, Yahushua, did not preach when he walked about. And somehow, am I greater than him that I should preach a different gospel, or a gospel that pleases me, that I feel more comfortable with than the gospel of the kingdom, or for whatever reason that I'm preaching a different gospel or offering a strange fire? And that's what I would liken it to today. The strange fire is all of these other gospels or truncated gospels. Somehow, these people preaching a different message than our master, somehow. I mean, all they're saying is that I know better, that, you know, I am my own God, basically. That seems abominable to me. Okay, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8, "And Yahuwah spoke unto Aaron, saying, Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die." So they were not allowed to drink wine, and we're talking alcoholic beverage here. But were they allowed to drink? Obviously, they were allowed to drink wine and strong drink, but not when they go into the tabernacle. So let's read that. Chapter 10, verse 9, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes with the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses." So we have here Yahuwah, just the Heavenly Father, just struck two of the sons of Aaron dead. And he's giving him instructions against being intoxicated and coming into the temple, that they are not to be intoxicated when they come into the temple. That you meet in telling him that they have to teach all the statutes which he had spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spoke unto Aaron, and to Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, that were left, Take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy, and you shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due, and thy son's due, of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire. For so I am commanded. And the wave, breast, and heave, shoulder, shall ye eat in a clean place, thou, thy sons, thy daughters. So portion they were to take and eat while they were serving in the temple there, the 7 days when they weren't allowed to go out. But the rest, the breast and the shoulder, was for them and their families when they were outside or they sent out, because that was their portion. So the wave and the breast and the heave, and you shall eat in a clean place, thou, thy sons, thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of the peace offerings of the children of Israel. So it was a different offering altogether. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by the fire of the fat to wave it for the wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be thine and thy sons with thee by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded. And where are we? We've got going into a break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. Remember my website, crosstheborder.org. Send me an email. I would like to hear from you.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group, Iowa.
You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible. So I hope you're enjoying these studies. They are available at my website. I have posted there. We started in Genesis this year, several months ago. Went through Exodus. I don't have Exodus posted yet, but upon hearing this, it may be posted or it may not be. So, but do watch out for it. If I get any email requests that might motivate me to get the work done. There's so much work to be done here. And for all of those of you who wonder who I am, where I am, where I'm located, of course I give the address in Tulare, California. So I'm in an undisclosed location of Tulare County. The address, of course, is a mail drop, because we don't have an address on the property here. I live and I serve on a piece of property that is held in a trust, and the object of the trust is to hold this property for our Heavenly Father from generation to generation according to His law of inheritance. And what I'd like to do on this property is have it set up and situated to where we can hold the three feast days of the year here according to His calendar, you know, the one He wrote in the sky, and keep His three feast days of the year. I'm not quite ready for that yet because I have a lot of work to do before I can do anything like that. And I don't know if anyone close by would be willing to help out with that or is interested in something like that, or perhaps the Holy Spirit might set upon someone to and move them to offer something in some way toward that end. But you can email me or you can write me at the address that I gave out earlier in the program. And or you can also find the address at my website, crosstheborder.org. Okay. Anyway, we're going through Leviticus, so let's pick up where we left off. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 16. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, "Wherefore have you not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God had given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord? Behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. You should have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded." So it looks like they're blowing it on the ritual and on the instructions here. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Behold, this day they have offered their sin offering and the burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord?" He's asking a question. And when Moses heard that, he was content. Verse 11, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth." And here they are given the dietary law. This is what they are given as a guideline and for the children of Israel. And we saw how this was carried forward into the New Testament. If you listen to the first part, first half hour of today's study. So if you didn't hear that, you need to hear it. You need to go through it, because you say, well, this is just Old Testament. But I believe we've all been lied to. So we need to find out what the New Testament really says. So if you go back there and you listen to the first half hour of today's program, and you don't agree with it, well, I'd like to hear from you. Especially if you don't agree with it. If you think I'm wrong and you can show me something else in the scripture that says I'm wrong, I definitely want to hear from you, because the last thing I want to be is wrong. When it comes to his word, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to be offering strange fire before my heavenly Father. So if you know more than me, you know something I don't know, you think I'm wrong, you know, please love me. You know, love your neighbor, that's me, as you love yourself, and straighten me out, please. Because the last thing I want to do, I mean, it's worse for me if I'm out here teaching people something that's wrong. You need to help me out, okay? I mean, I don't fear being struck dead, but you never know what could happen. So, you know, you got to take care of me if you know better. So if you listen to part one, you think I'm wrong, straighten me out. It's your duty as my brother. You know, owe no man anything but to love one another. So he says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, These are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, among the beasts shall you eat." So, you know, you have pork. I mean, pigs, they're cloven-footed, aren't they? I think they are. I think a pig is cloven-footed, so it parteth the hoof. It's cloven-footed, but it doesn't chew the cud. All right, so you're not supposed to eat that. So whatsoever parteth the hoof is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud, among beasts you shall not eat. Now horse isn't cloven-footed. It doesn't part the hoof. It doesn't chew the cud either, so we shouldn't eat horses. And I'm thinking we shouldn't eat a dog either, because it has a paw. It doesn't have a hoof. So we're not to eat anything that has paws. So it has to be cloven-footed and chew the cud. So you have goats, you have sheep, you have cows, and some other, you know, the deer and so forth. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but he divideth not the hoof. So it has to have both. That's the point. It is unclean to you. And the coney, and that's the coney is a rabbit, because he cheweth the cud, but he divide not the hoof. You know, rabbits have paws, like, you know, the toes and so forth, so it doesn't divide the hoof. And the hare, well, I thought that was a hare. Let's see, what is a, it's a rock rabbit, so it is a type of a rock rabbit. Okay, and the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. And you know, if we went back and we read through Genesis, and we saw that they already had the distinction, that Noah knew what was clean and unclean. They already had the distinction. And I'll bet you, you know, Adam and Eve knew what was clean and unclean too. Because, well, one thing, they weren't allowed to eat meat as a regular part of their diet. Okay, if you'll remember that they ate the herb of the field, and they ate the nuts and the fruit of the tree. They were only forbidden that one fruit, but they ate that anyway. Of course, that tree, I guess, I'm not sure, but it just represented something. So they weren't allowed to eat meat except for the sacrifice, and as we see that with the sacrificial law here. And then we noticed that when Noah took animals onto the ark, that he was told that he was to take seven of the clean and one of the unclean, you know, in their pairs. So he knew what the distinction was. The distinction had already been made. And I'm certain that when the high priest made that first sacrifice and he instructed Adam as to how to make the sacrifice, he received instruction as to what was appropriate, what was clean for the sacrificial rite. See, the sacrifice was before the law as it's being received by Moses here, and that's obvious as we go through the scripture, that it was not codified, it was not written down until Moses came and wrote it down and received a complete law. And we'll see that there's, well, we'll just wait for that, but so that's what we're receiving now, is that we're receiving codified in a written form, in specific instruction, what they can eat and what they can't eat. Because as we remember that Noah was told, now you can eat the meat, not just for the sacrifice, but as a regular part of your diet. A lot of people like to use that as a license to eat pork, but it wasn't. Because the distinction between clean and unclean remained. So they were allowed to add clean meats to their diet. It only says something else if you want it to say something else. But if you really want to read the context and understand the complete word from beginning all the way through, you understand that there's no license there to eat unclean meats. And certainly there's no license here for the children of Israel to eat unclean meats. So the swine, though it divide the hoof, it be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Or their flesh you shall not eat, or their carcass you shall not touch, they are unclean to you. So you're not allowed to use their flesh, you know, no pork skin footballs. You're not allowed to use their fat to make soap or for anything, the lard. So just off limits. If it's not clean, you're not to use any part of it. You're not to touch it. It's unclean. It says their carcass you shall not touch. Okay, so like you could have a dog. You could have a pet. You could even have a live pet pig if you wanted to, but you're not allowed to touch their carcass or eat it or use it. Any part of it, it's unclean. Okay, so you could have a pet, you could have a rabbit, you could, you know, We have pet dogs. We have horses. They're not clean to eat. We're not to touch their carcass or yet use any part of it for anything. It's unclean. I guess you could feed it to your dogs, because you've heard the proverbial dog food factory story for a mean horse and things like that. But we're not to use it, not to touch it. You shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. These you shall eat of all that are in the waters. So that's the rules there that we just read for the meats of the animals that are on the land. Now we have rules for that which is in the water, that whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, you shall eat. So it has to have skin, it has to have fins and scales. That's the rule. Simple. It has to have fins and scales. So some fish you can't eat. You know, it's like catfish, bottom feeders. Those are the Heavenly Father's vacuum cleaners. They vacuum up the bottom. They're bottom feeders. They eat all the dung in the water and clean it up. So they're his scavengers in the ocean. So they don't have they don't have scales. So catfish don't have scales, but they have fins. But you have to have both, so you're not to eat catfish. They're unclean to you. That's what it says here. So he has a reason, and perhaps maybe they're not very good for your health. You know, so I think maybe it might be wise to live by this dietary code here. So whatsoever is in the water has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, you shall eat them. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas, in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. So don't take me out for lobster, because I will decline. Abomination is fairly strong language. And if it's an abomination to me, then it must be an abomination for my health. And I don't want to keel over at 40 years old and die from eating all of this unclean, these unclean garbage trowels of the ocean or the scavengers of the land, because I filled myself with the garbage that is in them. So I don't want to eat that stuff. It's an abomination. That's fairly strong language. That's warning me off of that type of stuff. I'm not saying you can't do it. You can do whatever you want. You can think whatever you want. And you can justify whatever you want. That's between you and the Almighty. You know, as for me and my house, I will do and teach even the least of these commandments. Okay, you shall eat. These you shall eat. Okay, let's jump to where I was. Okay, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. So if you want to go out and swim with the dolphins, you're fine. But their carcasses are an abomination. When it's dead, it's an abomination to you. You're not to eat it. And you're not to use any part of it when it's dead. Whatsoever hath no fins nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination to you. And these are they which ye shall have an abomination among the fowls. So now we have the rules for animals that are on the land. We have the rules for the fish of the sea. And basically, it has to have fins and scales. Simple rule. Fins and scales. Fins and scales. If it doesn't have fins, but it has scales, you can't eat it. If it has scales and no fins, you can't eat it. It has to have both fins and scales for you to be able to eat it, for it to be clean. So now let's talk about the birds of the air. These are they which you shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. Okay, so they're an abomination if you eat them, if you touch their dead carcass in any way. The eagle, the ossifrage, and I don't know what an ossifrage is. It's a kind of an eagle, it says here. So another kind of an eagle, perhaps a hawk, probably a hawk. And the osprey, sea eagle, some type of seabird, an osprey, seagulls, things like that. The vulture and the kite. So what is a kite? It says a hawk or a vulture, a screamer, a blackbird, after his kind. And every raven after his kind. And the owl and the nighthawk and the cuckoo and the hawk after his kind. And the little owl, the cormorant and the great owl, the swan, the pelican, and the gear eagle. So these were specific types of eagle, but you kind of get the idea. And the stork, the heron, after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat. All fowls that creep going upon all fours shall be an abomination. No lizards, no snakes. And so basically, we know what we're allowed to eat. You can eat the dove, you can eat the chicken, you can eat, you know, those type of birds of the fowl. And you can eat the, what do they call those things? Yeah, I forget, but you get the idea. And you don't see too many of these other birds in your market anyway. Most of them are protected, and probably a good thing, because people would eat anything that isn't protected. Now, I'll tell you what, if I was starving to death, I might forget all about all these rules to preserve my life, but I'm not in that type of situation right now where I have to, pollute my body to keep it alive, basically. So the fowls that creep going upon all fours shall be an abomination, yet these you may eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Legs above their feet. Okay, so like the grasshopper, that's what we're talking about. Their legs are above their feet. And these of them you may eat, the locust after their kind, the bald locust after his kind, and the beetle after his kind, and the grasshopper after his kind. And there are cultures that do eat these things. And I'm not much into bugs, but I'll tell you what. If we had a hail of locusts and they came and ate everything on the land so that all that was left was locusts, we could eat the locust. Okay, but all the flying, creeping things which have 4 feet shall be an abomination unto you. And you say, well, but insects have 6 feet. Well, I think that biblically speaking here, they have the 4 back feet, but the 2 front feet are their hands from the insects. And on a spider, they use their 4 front legs as hands. So I think that's the difference here. And for these you shall be unclean. Whosoever touches the carcass of them shall be unclean until even, and whosoever beareth aught of the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. So we have cleanliness statutes to go with this, because if something dies, somebody had to take care of it. You couldn't just leave it laying around. It had to be carried out and buried or burned or whatever. So we have a cleanliness statute here for taking care of the carcasses of unclean beasts. The carcass of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven and not cloven-footed, nor cheweth the cud, are unclean unto you. Every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whosoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until even. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until even. They are unclean to you. And I don't know about you, but where I live, we have chickens and so forth. And if I find a dead animal, I don't even want to touch it. I'll get out the pitchfork and pick it up and dig a hole and bury it. I don't even want to touch a clean animal, let alone an unclean one. So these also shall be unclean unto you among the creeping things that creep upon the earth, the weasel, the mouse, the tortoise after his kind, the ferret, the chameleon, the lizard, the snail, the mole, These are unclean among all that creep. Whosoever doth touch them when they be dead shall be unclean until even. And upon whosoever any of them which are dead does fall, it shall be unclean, whether it be any vessel of wood or raiment or skin or sack, whatsoever vessel it be, wherein any work is done, it must be put into water, and it shall be unclean until even, so it shall be cleansed. And every earthen vessel whereunto any of them falleth, whatsoever is in it, shall be unclean, and you shall break it. You know, it seems like our Heavenly Father and the children, he was teaching the children of Israel about something they couldn't see, and that was microscopic organisms, which are endemic around dead things, basically. And we know that's the truth today, because now we have microscopes that we can see those things. So all of this is, these cleanliness statutes are good, very good. Of all meat which may be eaten, that on which water cometh shall be unclean. So you're not to reuse water which you wash meat which may be eaten. Yeah, it makes good sense. You know, if you wash your meat, you don't drink the water, okay? Shall be unclean, and all drink that may be drunk in every vessel shall be unclean. So you don't put slaughtered meat in a cup or a bowl, and then you drink out of it. Yeah, see, our Heavenly Father, he knew about those microorganisms that we couldn't see, didn't he? He certainly did, didn't he? And everything whereupon any part of their carcass falleth shall be unclean, whether oven or ranges for pots, they shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall be unclean unto you. Nevertheless, a fountain or pit, wherein there is plenty of water, shall be clean, but that which touches their carcass shall be unclean. And if any part of their carcass fall upon any sowing seed which is to be sown, it shall be clean. So it doesn't hurt the seed. You can still sow the seed. But if any water be put upon the seed, and any part of their carcass fall upon it thereon, it shall be unclean unto you. And apparently that's all we have time for today. We got through the dietary statutes, we're getting into the cleanliness statutes. Very important to pay attention to. These are things which are almost second hand as a general rule today. Things which our Heavenly Father gave to us thousands of years ago, which man just came to understand recently. Our Heavenly Father, he is a wonderful